listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
K-State Nation, Eddie Greer, another edition of the Purple Project Podcast, Daily Edition, coming at you on this Sunday, December 4th, 2022, folks. And if you hear some squeaking in my voice, did plenty of yelling yesterday, folks. K-State Big 12 champs. Yes, indeed. Can you believe it, K-State Nation? Kansas State football team, Big 12 champions after taking down undefeated TCU in a thriller of a game yesterday, 31-28 here. I would give a small, quick reaction here to this game here, of course. And, of course, I'll have more on what I did over the weekend as well with the Flint Hills basketball teams, respectively. That's also why my voice is on the squeeze side as well. But, yeah, getting right into it, holy smokes, man. First off, on that goal line stand, I know there's going to be plenty to talk about when me and Alex get together for the recap of this game. Tomorrow, I'm going to have it. We're going to be getting together tomorrow night, hopefully. And the podcast will be out later on in the week, though. But, yeah, I got a lot to look forward to again here as we close out another week and get ready for another big weekend for yours truly here coming up next Sunday. But anyways, yeah, the goal line stand, that has to be the goal line stand of the year. Goal line stand 2022, you know what it is, man. And I did not realize TCU was already in fourth down at that time. Obviously, Keandre Miller, right, who spanked us in the first game when these two teams met, right? He had some big runs in there, but K-State really buckled down. They were off to a rocky start. I'm like, oh no, you know, K-State started off slow offensively in this game. After TCU just jumped on them there in the first quarter, like, oh no, here we go again. But I think the big reason why K-State won this game is they settled down and really got into their game plan and really started punching TCU in the mouth multiple times. And really, yes, you're going to get big mistakes, but Phillip Brooks, the crucial fumble off the punt there to let TCU back in the ball game there. I'm like, oh, you know what? This is going to be rough, man. But this team, man, this K-State team, man, has been a joy to watch all year long when they are doing their backs against the wall, coming off of heartbreaking losses like Tulane. This TCU team early in October in Texas, they have found a way to respond every time, and they did that and then some yesterday. Topping off with the goal line stand in overtime. And then, of course, Ty Zittner, how can you not, knocks down the game-winning field goal, puts it in through the uprights. True, and K-State defeats TCU in overtime in the Big 12 Championship yesterday, 31-28. And I'm recording this a few hours ahead of the championship playoff, college football playoff selection show and all of that. So, obviously, I mean, we've somewhat talked about this already between the weekly edition. If you've not checked that out before the K-State upset yesterday, still checked it out, though. We had Keaton on this week. Definitely encourage you guys to check that out as well. This pod will be out. Already had one scheduled for this morning come out, so I'm going to let that play out. And then this will come out tonight as well. So I know it's going to be, everything's going to be kind of kicked down the curve a little bit, but it's okay. It's all right. We're going to keep tuning to celebrate this here for a little bit longer. Kansas State, Chris Klieman and his bunch are the 2022 Big 12 champions for the Big 12 in 2022. Can y'all believe it? Wow. Doing some reflecting a little bit. This is what we all talked about. I mean, not only sniffing Arlington, but this is your shot. And I've said this multiple times this season, this semester on the Pro Project Podcast, whether it's a daily or weekly edition of the show. Hey, you gotta pay. You gotta pay when the window's open, baby. You gotta cash in. You gotta cash in. And what did K-State you do yesterday? Cash in, cash money. There and oh man, this both teams back and forth in the game. What can you ask for? I think this was the best. Obviously, this was going to be the best game of the day, and it proved to be true there. Max Duggan, literally in the fourth quarter, put the team on his back there with quarterback run after quarterback run. This dude, really both quarterbacks, changed the complexion of their teams. Obviously, we know Will Howard has played lights out since D'Angelo Martinez's injury to this TCU team back in October there. And, of course, it was awesome to see Adrian out there taking the coin toss there before the overtime period there. But, yeah, I finished the point. My point on Max Duggan here real fast there. That dude has a lot of heart in him, man. He literally nearly led TCU past us, but it was not enough. Not a one-man show, baby. It's got to take a team. Football is a team sport, right? It's got to take everybody in there. And the way that K-State, the defense, came after Duggan time after time reminded me so much. I know I'm kind of showing my age here a little bit, but the Florida State game, those rivalry games, back in the 90s, right? Oh, my goodness. Those were in some intense games, obviously, and majority of those were a shot to play for a national championship, right? So, one particular game, the FSU defense came after Wolford time after time again, and they just kept pounding and pounding him. Wolford just kept getting back up and up again, showing the character, the toughness that he is. Duggan did the same thing yesterday. We just kept coming after that dude over and over again. And I think Joe Klannenman, shout out Joe Klannenman, shout out Colin Klein yesterday, Chris Kleiman, everybody for doing what they did to put the right guys in the right spots. And some guys yesterday had showed some cojones yesterday as well. We talked a lot about RJ Garcia. I know I'm opening up a can of worms right now. So pumped up for this team. RJ Garcia was mostly talked about in the offseason as a guy to watch for, and he came up huge yesterday. Jacob Parrish. Now, we've seen Parrish. Now, I know ESPN was new to K-State a little bit. Dame has covered K-State all year long, but from a Manhattan / Big 12 perspective, Fox, FS1 perspective, look, we've seen Jacob Parrish before in games. Echo Bodo went out early. The shoulder injury took him out of the game in the first quarter. Jacob Parrish, under him, he really stepped up. I mean, we've seen him a lot here in the second half of the season. And he was tremendous yesterday. I tweeted out yesterday. He was absolutely tremendous yesterday. Making some huge pass breakups there. Really slowing down. Slowing down that TC receivers. And Julius Brents, man, he had an up and down day yesterday, man. He was getting picked on there, but made some crucial plays there. An interception there. Critical pass breakup in the fourth quarter there on Quentin Johnson. That's everything about this team, man, that you love about this team. And I obviously, with the new look of the college football and everything, with the transfer portal, you're reading in the Twitters. I'm pretty sure in y'all Twitter feeds and whatnot, whatever team you follow, whether it is our Cats or some other team or your other favorite team, that you're seeing a lot of people hitting the transfer portal, right? And I just don't think this team, you're not going to see anything, see any from this team. Unless something comes out of left field that we don't expect. But obviously we know that this team could lose a lot of players. Now, obviously, heard Felix over the radio during the post game last night. Everything else, that he's only focused on the Sugar Bowl in next year. But we know there's some talented dudes on this team that are going to be NFL draft eligible for this team. So, but hey, we're too far from that right now. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. Still celebrating the Big 12 Conference title over TCU. And more than likely, we all know, 99% of us know, unless something hits us out of right field, we're going to the Sugar Bowl. And we'll see what the committee does with Alabama, obviously, because I said this over this weekend's edition of the weekly podcast, episode 133. That I got a feeling that Alabama's going the way USC lost. Obviously, open up the can of worms there, and I think TCU's in. Their body of work, their resume. TCU one loss over a two loss Alabama team. That's a no brainer here. You keep TCU in there as well. Michigan and Georgia, they took care of business last night as well there. Georgia SEC champs for the second time in 4 years. Michigan back to back Big 12 championships there as well. So we all be stunned if TCU gets the boot out, but I don't expect that. I don't expect that to happen, especially the way that this game was played. This was a toss-up game. Came in as a 2-point underdog, I think it was there in this game, and then we won by 3. So, yeah, call it for what it is there. I think TCU's in. K-State's going to Sugar Bowl. I think the Alabama talk that Alex started, my co-host started 2 weeks ago, I think it's going to come true there as well, and I'm going to be excited for that punt matchup now if that comes to fruition here. We're going to have all the reaction between now and throughout the week here on the Purple Project Podcast. Find it wherever you get your podcast. That's going to do it on this somewhat instant reaction. K-State, Big 12 champions after defeating TCU in overtime to win it in. I went all this podcast not mentioning K-State is a 10-win football team on the season, 10-3, and now wait, their bowl destination and their opponent next in the college football season. Eddie Greer, Go Cash, you know what to do. If you're listening to this podcast for the first time, welcome on board. If you've been following us all semester long or join us at some point in the summer or at some point all year long, we thank you for making the Purple Project Podcast your place for K-State covers. That's going to do it. Eddie Greer, Go Cats. K-State Nation, Chris Kleiman. Cats, Big 12 champs.